Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and to our audience around the globe. This is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. You know, we circle the globe 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and in our opinion, especially mine, the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the world. And now, welcome to the Boomerang Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to us for several years now. You know, the Boomerang is one of my favorite shows because we bring you information that isn't often widely shared. We cover everything from mental illness to politics to world events. What's happening in the world and a whole lot more. And tonight, man, I see part of my esteemed panel there. Let me unmute you guys here. Okay, I see Brother Kennard Moffitt. Hey, brother, how are you?
What's going on, Mr. Brown?
Everything is happening here. There's Ann Wooden Taylor. And Dr. Sims should be joining us shortly. Okay. Yes, there's Ann Wooten Taylor. Hey, Ann.
Hey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I'm getting a little feedback from somewhere. Reverend Dr. Rudolph Demery. Hey, my friend. All right. All right. Say that again. You sound a little muffled.
You got a lot of static on your end. It's coming from your end.
No, it's not. No, I can promise you that.
There's a bunch of static.
Okay. I'm listening. Okay, hold on one second.
Sounds like somebody's, sounds like they're shuffling cards or something.
Yeah. And it's not here. No, you don't.
Well, I say that is because when you start talking, the static comes.
Yeah, and you sound muffled.
Okay.
Okay, do me a favor. Log out and log back in.
Okay.
All right, do that for me, all right? All right, no problem. Okay, there's Dr. Sims. Oh, Dr. Sims, she's there. Okay. So, yes, that's right. Okay, it was on Dr. Demery's side. When he logged out, the static went away. Okay, but that's okay. Folks, I'm going to talk a little bit. Dr. Sims, how are you? Dr. Sims? Okay.
Everybody.
Oh, okay, there's Dr. Demery. Now, Dr. Demery, yeah, every time.
It came back.
Yeah, it's on your end, Dr. Demery. When you went out, it went away. Okay.
Where you want it to be?
I have no idea, my friend. Maybe do something with your internet system. Move the modem or something around or something. You generally don't have that problem.
No, I don't. I don't know what it could be.
Okay. I'm going to mute your mic.
Log out and try to see what's going on here.
Okay. All right. No problem. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the subject matter here. I mentioned it on your show yesterday, and I also talked to Dr. Demery or Dr. Sims on her show, and we've got a very special broadcast this evening. I'm talking to you, our panel, but also more importantly to our audience around the globe. Folks, everybody's aware that the holiday is coming up. That's no secret. But how much are we talking about holiday safety? How much are we talking about holiday safety, and not only holiday safety, but being aware, holiday safety and situational awareness? And the reason why I assembled this panel the way I did today is because I've got Mr. Mike Ward. He has Mad Mike up there. Mad Mike, that's his handle on Thursday nights when we do our show, and that's cool. We do a brand new show, and Dr. Sales. Let's see. Okay, let's see if we can be successful with Dr. Demery this time. Okay, Dr. Demery.
Oh, came right back again.
Yeah, it's on your end, Dr. Demery, for some strange reason, my friend. What I'm going to do, I'm going to mute your mic. Perhaps it'll get better. I'll be back, and we'll see. Okay? All right. So, anyway, I mentioned on Ann's show yesterday that we're going to talk about this very important topic. And I think I mentioned to Dr. Sims, and she was talking about how necessary she felt that this would be as well. And I asked Brother Moffitt, and I'm going to let these gentlemen, I'm going to give them a brief introduction, but I want both these gentlemen, to tell us who they are. Let's start with you, Brother Moffitt. Your former, your former occupation, and tell us as much as you want about that.
Well, I'm retired Los Angeles Police Department supervisor, sergeant with LAPD with 32 years of law enforcement experience. The last decade of my tenure, I spent, you know, doing personnel investigations. So I'm away from the field for quite a time, but a lot of the things that, you know, we experience in law enforcement, it remains the same. So I'm just, you know, glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah. And we want, and this is the whole idea of panel. What we want to do, Mike, is, he is an expert. Mike, was a former investigator, with the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department. And he, designed this course, correct me at any point, Mike, if I'm wrong, the materials. And it was a program designed to protect seniors in the very beginning. And I believe it was titled, Do Not Be a Victim. Mike,
Refuse to be a victim.
Refuse to be a victim. And so I want you to tell us about the holiday safety and situational awareness. But not only that, I know you're going to cover how we can be safe, not only during the holidays, but every day. And then the panel, at any point, if there's a question you want to ask, please ask Mike, or and then you can jump in with any comments regarding your expertise as well. So, Mike, the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, thank you, William, and hello to everyone out there. As William mentioned, I'm retired from the Sheriff's Department. I retired out about a year and a half ago. I started in 1983, had a wonderful career. During my career, I was asked about 15 years ago to create a safety program for seniors, because we have vulnerable ends of our society where the very old and the very young are quite vulnerable. The very young are almost always supervised by parents or teachers or someone else, but the very old seniors, their spouse dies, their kids move out of state, they're kind of left on their own. So they become more vulnerable, and that's why the department asked me to write a program. So I came up with the help of many friends and their input, I created Refuse to Be a Victim. It was very successful, and so much so that other organizations started asking me to teach the program as well, or to share the knowledge that I was given. So the program takes about 2 hours to do it correctly from end to end, but I cover it when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're vacationing, when you're driving. I cover all ends of your daily lives. And it was, again, very successful and got requests for it all the time, so much so that the department couldn't turn me loose enough to do these programs. So I did my best. And so this is what we're going to cover here today, is elements of Refuse to Be a Victim. And of course, we're going to highlight the safety and awareness during the holidays, because that's when a great deal of theft occurs. The crime rate goes up statistically during the holidays. So, and I welcome all of your input. By the way, I'm used to group teaching. So where we may have one instructor covering a topic, all the other instructors are encouraged to have their input and to maybe cover something that the instructor, current instructor, might have missed. So please, if you have knowledge and input or questions, I really encourage it. So just holler Mike or whatever, and I'll shut up and you guys can jump in. So I think what I'm going to try to do here today is break things into two parts. I think I'll start off with the holiday portion of it, because that's what the name of this particular program is going to be. But then, as William mentioned, I do want to get into the day-to-day safety stuff. So it's going to overlap a little bit. But, yeah, please, everyone, jump in. We'll do this together. Back to you, William.
Yes, yes. And so, Mike, I want you to start off with the basic holiday tips, because you and I, let me rewind a little bit. Mike and I, we started doing this. We would normally have it, I believe, on a Saturday or something like that. And I we would do this each year around holiday time. And I thought the program was very informative and extremely, extremely necessary. And most would agree that safety is something that all of us want. We may not think about it every day, but it's something that's needed. And certain things that Mike is going to share with us that we can be a little more vigilant from day to day. And a lot of times, and Mike, I'm sure you would agree, and perhaps the panel will also, During the holiday seasons, I think that we are most vulnerable for certain reasons. And because we're out there, everything is joyful. We're looking around and we're not aware of our surroundings as much. And I propose, and I believe, Mike, that there are criminals out here that they play on their vulnerability, and especially this time of the year. Would you say that is factual or
absolutely? They're looking for victims. And if you posture yourself like a victim, guess what? You may be taking advantage somewhere along the way, either financially, physically, mentally. Dr. Sims, I'm sure can speak to that better than I, but yeah, you are very vulnerable. If you're not paying attention, you're not keeping your situational awareness up. Again, you're posturing yourself as a victim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Oh, Dr. Demery's back also. And I failed to mention earlier that Dr. Demery is also a former law enforcement officer. He doesn't talk about that a lot. But Dr. Demery, what department did you work for?
I worked for a couple of departments. I worked for UC Riverside as a state police officer. Then I worked for Fontana Police Department. I was one of the first black policemen at Fontana Police Department. Then I worked, my last department, I worked at Redlands Police Department as a canine officer.
Okay. Well, you know, it's possible you and Mike could have crossed paths before. That is quite
very
possible.
Very easily, because I live in Redlands. I'm in the hills of Redlands out in San Timoteo Canyon, so I know a lot of the officers here in town. In fact, one of my good friends, Jerry Williamson, retired from LA or from Redlands Police Department as a lieutenant years ago. So I don't know if you knew him at all. And my first station that I was assigned to back in 83 was Fontana. So yeah, very easily we could have crossed paths, sir.
Absolutely. Could have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and I tell you something, in California, as vast, it's obviously, the size of that state, with a big state that big, you can have big problems, you know, and you're going to have a large force, right? And Brother Moffitt, I'm sure you can attest to the Los Angeles Police Department. Wow, I think there's something upwards 10,000 officers there, I believe. Am I off base or am I close?
Well, that was the target. You know, everyone, I think most law enforcement agencies are struggling right now to get people on board, but that was a target goal, and it was pretty close to that number. You know, a couple of years back. So,
okay.
I don't know what the status is today, but yeah.
Okay. Now, again, Dr. Dunn, we lost you for a while, but the whole idea, we wanted the panel to jump in. And Dr. Sims, I know you have a lot of questions. And Ann, please jump in and ask Mike anything that you want about maybe some tips on, let's talk about some things that we would especially want to pay attention to during the holiday season. I'm going to give you an idea. A couple of years ago, I know I brought this up to Mike. I said, Mike, you take these parking garages, for instance. I would think, you know, that you really, if you're parking in one of these garages, especially during the holidays or any time of the year, be careful, you know, going into your trunk, bending over into your trunk and putting items away and not looking around you, okay? And I don't know, but Mike, Brother Moffitt, Dr. Demery, jump right on in. And I would say, if someone is following you, don't go directly to your car. Or you might want to do a U-turn and come back or do something else, right? So.
William, let me make a little comment before we get to that point. Why do we become so complacent? A lot of people are just complacent at this time. You say we're in that holiday spirit.
Yep.
A lot of times we just stop paying attention to our surroundings. We don't think we're going to be the next until it happens to us. You know, we think it's not going to be me. You don't think it could happen to you. So we become very complacent. That's one reason we become a victim in the first place.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Complacency kills.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Exactly. Exactly. And you brought up, you don't think it's going to happen to you.
Until it does.
Mm-hmm. And so many different, and then later on, I'm going to get into something else. I won't cover the basics here, but I want to talk about some things that happen even in California, because we also want to get into cyber attacks. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that as well. That is very real. Dr. Sims, jump right on in because you're nodding your head.
Good evening. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. You know, I was listening to everybody, and this time of year, I really hate to go out in public. And the reason why is because people are not considerate. And one of the things that I learned as a young girl, and then too, working for the bank, you learn how to just keep being observant of all your surroundings, who's getting next to you. My thing is this, when we go out to the stores, I don't like anybody walking too close behind me, in front of me, or beside me that I don't know. Because people are very scandalous and they do a lot of things and their method of operation is serious. It's not like it was back in the day. I watch some movies and I say, and sometimes they laugh at me because they can do their attack on any level. There's things that they can do, and I watch some of these FBI movies and things like that, and that might be far-fetched, but, you know, they have things in their hands that they can get so close to you, and they can actually touch your shoulder, but they're injecting some kind of drug, and then they watch you. And so that's why I don't let people get close to me. I know people might say, that's way out in the wind. I don't think so. Because somebody just didn't fabricate that. That's how I look at things. So we have to be careful. And even when we go to your cars, and William, you said something about going out to the parking garages. My thing is don't go late at night. That's a suggestion, especially for women. And then women, I'm telling the women, arm yourself. You know how I am, William, right? keep your piece beside you. Come on, keep your hand on it. For real, okay? Learn some martial arts. I'm from the heart. I'm being real, heart side of town. And so teach your children. You laughed at me. But it's real, okay? You're going to have to get suited and booted mentally about what is going on around you because people nowadays just don't care. And they are scandalous and they're out to rip you off. It doesn't matter how they do it. They could take your life, laugh at you, and keep it moving. And going on to the next one. That's why I say, you know, hey, do what you got to do, okay? And we stop laughing.
I know, I can't.
Hey,
yeah,
the girls packing. That's right.
That's right. Brother Moffitt, hey, Mike. Yeah, these two sisters, man, they packing, dog.
That's right.
Mike. Better to be tried by what? What's this? How does the saying go?
Tried by fire. I got some fire for you.
Good deal.
Oh, Mike.
And you got your speaker on, honey. Ann's saying something.
Ann? Where are you, Ann?
She's right. Oh. Desperate criminals do desperate things.
They sure do, and I'm going to get desperate.
And I'm all for everybody protecting themselves as long as they're trained and can handle a weapon correctly.
Thank you.
Part of my last bit of investigations that I did with the department was issuing CCW permits, concealed weapon permits. Okay. So my department was very in favor of it. Thankfully, we've had very good sheriffs the last decade or more, and they believe that the good people in our society should be able to protect themselves from the evil. So I'm all for it.
And
William, can I ask you, cause before we go forward, I'm looking for the broadcast, and I don't see it on Facebook.
Yeah,
I have people
it's there.
Who wants to.
Okay, it's on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Okay, I'll try again. Sorry.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, it's there. It's definitely there. And you're about to say.
I was just going to say people don't, you take it for granted until it actually happens to you. I remember, my second job as a law clerk, I was clerking at a very small firm and, it was just me and the attorney and, a secretary. The secretary was out and the attorney was out. And so I was there alone and I was in my area, when these two young ladies came in and, you know, people sometimes come off the street and want legal services. And one lady was talking to me. The other one went to the water fountain and I presumed after that she went to sit down, while she was waiting on her friend who was talking to me. Well, she very quietly went into the lawyer's office and robbed the safe and everything. And I didn't even know it happened until my boss got back and she told me, you know, the money was missing. And I was like, we had a couple of people in here. And I talked to the one young lady and the other one was in the waiting area. She said they robbed us. And I mean, she wasn't angry with me. It's just what happened. Mm. One kept me busy and occupied doing something that I was supposed to be doing while the other person rob the safe. But not only that, my purse was in that area. So they got my credit card and they went, to the mall and bought up all kinds of stuff. Now, this was funny because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, post 9/11, we got cameras everywhere. There was not one camera in the mall. Nobody had photos, and these girls were able to go in, use my card up, and buy all kinds of stuff. So when that kind of thing happens to you, you're not upset when people say, let me see your ID before they use your card. I'm like, thank you for asking, because because of that, I put on all of my cards, check ID. I don't sign my name because if something happens, I want you to look at the ID of the person using the card. If it's me, hey, I'm going to show you and you'll know it's me, and then you go ahead and ring up the purchase. But if it's not me, they won't be able to produce a card that has my name on it, my face on it. That's a real big tip off that no, you are not the person who owns this particular card. It was one of those experiences where it made it really hard. You know, it was a test of faith. It was like, okay, Lord, I'm really mad at them right now, but I hope that you do whatever is necessary to bring them to their knees in repentance. And to give them, belief in Jesus Christ and a closer walk with you. That's the way I had to pray, because I'm like, otherwise I'm going to say a David Nehemiah prayer for you to get them. But all these checks that we have in order to verify identity, you get an appreciation for it when somebody tries to take advantage of you. Another, example is that we just moved into our new house and we had, some furniture delivered, some office furniture, which is behind me, by the way. And so because of that, we've got a building address on the on the card for where we used to live, mm-hmm. but I'm having it delivered to where I currently live. And so the people, they processed it automatically online, but they have a checks and balances system that uses actual human beings. And so somebody's like, okay, you need to call this number. Send me an email. You need to call this number or your shipment is not going to be shipped. And so I called the number. I explained that we moved and they released it. We got our stuff. It was really quick, like the next day. But people, she was like, people usually get really upset. I'm like, I know, because they've never been robbed before. So I think that on the one hand, we're ignorant to the fact, because if it doesn't happen to you, you hear about it and, oh, that's so sad, too bad. But it's not an experience that you've had in your own life. So you can kind of detach yourself. Yeah, I got empathy. I've got sympathy. But at the same time, we are a lot less likely to engage in safety measures. Me, I'm a lawyer. I happen to have been robbed once. Plus my husband is a fraud analyst. We don't trust anybody. we just don't. We one more and I'll release the mic. But, we had this guy coming over to do some work at our old house. And so my husband is normally working from home and he was going to let the guy in. Well, he couldn't come at the time he told us to. And so he was like, well, I'm already in your neighborhood. My husband's like, I'm not there yet, so you'll have to wait. He was like, well, if you've got a keypad on your garage, if you'll just give it to me, I can go ahead and go in and get the work done. My husband said, no, I'll see you at the regular time. And so I got home and the man was, he was out there. And so he talked to me. He didn't think husband and wives have conversations. And he was like, oh, I was here early. I should have just called you to let you know I was here. You could have given me the keypad, so that, and I could have gone on in. I said, my husband and I don't do that. If you are not getting the code that allows you access to our house. And I'm sitting here thinking, and Andre already told me you tried this. So, because then what? Somebody's broken into your house. There was no breaking. There was no entering. They just waltz right on in. And so it's a lot harder, to say you were robbed by somebody. It looks more like an inside job at that point, when they know your codes and stuff. But not only that, what do you do if you're home in the middle of the night and you're sound asleep and that person's taking advantage of you, comes into your house, or when you're at work and robs you blind? It's just a simple safety thing. It seems like convenience, but convenience kills. It's what we tell people in our health and fitness class, and I agree with the officers. Complacency and convenience will kill you if you're not careful.
Absolutely. Mike, you have a lot to unravel here. I want you to break down some ways, because pointed out some things that I want to cover today. And number one, sometimes these thieves work in tandem. Mm-hmm. One will distract, okay, while the other is doing the burglaries. Also, they would use certain methods, and I want you to talk about that a little bit. And tell us some of the methods that some of these thieves that we may not even think about are using right now to gain access, to steal, to rob, or whatever on the streets. And then we want to talk about, and I really want to get into the cyber thing that's going on, because that is so prevalent. People ended up dying. Later on in the broadcast, I want to talk about the tragic situation that happened in California, when this guy who was just hired in the Virginia State Police Department here recently went to California and murdered this young girl's family and kidnapped her. And he met his demise when he confronted some police officers. So I want to get into that. Mike, I want you to start any way you want, and then I want Brother Moffitt to join in, and you'll moderate for a little bit, okay?
All right.
So, Mike, wherever you want to start, sir.
Well, I thought about this a lot, and I'm going to change it from what you and I used to do, William. I'm going to walk us all through maybe a day of going shopping, let's say for Christmas, because Christmas is coming up, and that's what the name of this particular show is about. And what I'll do is, as I talk a little bit here, I'll take breaks, because I really want to hear from all of you as well. So let's start with you're at home and you plan on going shopping. You could have done your shopping a while ago, or you could have done it online. But as we procrastinate as human beings, you're down to the wire now. So you got to go out and you got to go shopping. So you're going to leave your house. Maybe you're going to come back and it's already going to be dark. So you want to leave lights on. You want to put on, now lights these days, the LEDs, they hardly take any wattage at all, any juice at all. So it's not going to cost you a lot to leave a couple of lights on, especially if they're LED. Leave a radio or a TV on. Once again, they're very energy efficient. Leave a talk show on, something so that there's sound and light coming from your home, even if nobody's there. So let's start with you leaving the house. What kind of locks do you have on your doors? Do you have deadbolts? Do you have security doors as well? Is your deadbolt, and I'll get into deadbolts and locks when we start to do everyday stuff, but you obviously want to make sure your home is properly locked and secured. Those sliding glass doors, you want to make sure you've got extra locks on those sliding glass doors. And again, that's maybe an everyday thing. So you're leaving, you're in your car, you pull out of your garage and you start to take off as your garage door is closing. Don't. Wait till your garage door is completely closed, because what will happen is people will hide around the side, and before the door closes, they'll sneak underneath the garage door as you already took off. So watch that garage door as it closes. Exterior lighting. Again, if you're coming home at night, as I think Dr. Sims said, you want to do your shopping during the day. I forget if it's Ann or Dr. Sims, but do your shopping during the day. Take a friend. There's safety in numbers, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a neighbor, maybe an older, elderly person, male or female, take them shopping with you. You know, help them do their shopping. Again, safety in numbers. Keep your head on a swivel. Law enforcement term. We now live in a, if you don't believe zombies exist, I'm going to prove it to you. Go to any of these stores. Go to the gas station. Go to your supermarket, wherever. And what is everybody doing these days? Mm-hmm. They've got their cell phone, their heads down, and they're posturing themselves as a victim. Mm-hmm. Get your head out of that phone. Put that phone. There's nothing going on that's that important that you have to be hooked up to that umbilical to that phone 24/7. You just don't.
Exactly.
Particularly when you're out in public, you want to be very aware. As Dr. Sims mentioned, she doesn't want anybody around her, near her, breathing on her, or anything else.
Right.
So. go to these local places and look around, and you see people with their heads down. Those are, I call them zombies. So zombies do exist. Don't be a zombie. Don't posture yourself as a victim. So you've left your home. You've made sure your garage door is shut. And let me take a break here to make sure if anybody has input.
Well, I'm a big violator of the not, you know, making sure the garage door is closed. I mean, I'm bad with that lately, and that's a big deal because you live in a, especially if you live in a decent area and you don't have as much crime as other areas, you know, it's like before, you get a little complacent. But watching that garage door close all the way and making sure the house is secure before you take off, that's a big one as far as I'm concerned. Another thing I don't think you mentioned, but you talked a lot about the house security, the lights and stuff, but the Ring video doorbell, a lot of people are using those things.
Excellent.
You're recording all the time. That's a big deal. They don't cost very much. They're easy to install. So, and you can monitor your home when you're away from the residence. Mm-hmm. If you have that kind of thing. So,
Yeah, I agree. Those things are really, we wanted one, but we didn't want to be under a contract at our old house because we wanted to move. And so we have one now, and it's really nice. It's very convenient. It lets you look to see whenever there's any kind of activity, and they're very sensitive. Any little thing, you know, I get an alert that says, you know, the camera picked up activity outside of the front door.
A bird flies through and it picks it up.
Exactly. But, you know, there were other times when, you know, I couldn't get to the door and, I was able to to press the button and see that somebody came up to the door. Didn't stay, nobody I knew, but it's just very, it's a very nice thing to have, especially nowadays. Reverend Demery, I know those probably went around when you were in law enforcement. How do you think it's helped in terms of, you know, keeping the public safe in their homes, you know, since the days when you were working as a police officer?
Well, I worked many, many years ago. These guys were probably much younger than me. So I worked as a cop back in the 70s. And law enforcement has changed dramatically since then, on many levels. But I take security a little differently than all of you because I'm in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
And so I come from being very vulnerable. But they don't let a wheelchair fool you now.
Right. I know that's right.
Right.
You know, even when I'm at home, I mean, I am a big advocate of protecting yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have personal protection at home. Mm-hmm. So if somebody thinks they're going to come in my house, they're in for a sad awakening. They better make sure that they have met Jesus. And they know who he is.
Wow.
And I mean, I'm an advocate of that because Jesus says in Luke, you know, it says, sell your cloak and buy a sword. So I'm very big on, you know, personal protection.
Right.
And all of that. So there was a quick story that I'll tell. The place that I lived in before, there was a lady who was a caregiver of a lady that was staying there, and she, I guess, just flipped out or something. Now maybe got a hold of some fentanyl or something, and she stabbed the lady.
Wow. Almost
killed her. It was actually on the news. And some kind of way, she ended up at my house.
Wow.
And so she was banging on the door, and somebody like that, you know, who's banging on your door, you sense a element of panic. I went and got my shotgun.
Right.
She opened the door. She was looking down the barrel of my shotgun.
Come on.
Turned around and went back the other way. So I think, you know, sometimes, particularly women, I think you have to be very careful, and particularly me, a senior, you know, in a wheelchair, I come across as the two officers would probably say is one who's an easy target. But, you know, I always tell people, don't let the wheelchair fool you now.
Right.
Because you have to be constantly aware and watching your environment. Even me, I have to do that even more so because people, I'm sure, you know, even in my electric wheelchair, I can only go so fast. But fortunately enough, I have a dog that is very protective of me. So he is very cautious about letting other people come up close to me or getting around me. He, you know, is a protective breed. So he will stand in front of me and not let anybody get between me and him.
Right.
In the back of me. And obviously, as you know, dogs have much better hearing. Our eyesight is actually better than theirs, but his hearing and his sense of smell is incredible. I mean, he will smell somebody coming before they even get close to me.
Wow.
So I am mostly watching my environment, and I watch him to key on him. When he keys up, then I know something is up. So I would say, you know, at least, because I'm obviously, I'm a former canine officer, so I'm really big on animals, and I'm big on protective dogs, especially. So I would strongly say to the ladies, I know there's, you know, there's some involvement in having a pet and having a dog. You got to make sure to take care of them. You got to feed them. You got to clean up after them. You got to get pet insurance and all this other kind of stuff. My dog has pet insurance. You know, he has better health insurance than some people that I've
Wow.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's why I don't have pet. It's too involved now.
See?
It's way too involved.
I mean, that's
they got more rights than humans.
You have to decide what works for you.
Exactly. He
fits into my lifestyle, and he works for me just as well as my Smith & Wesson. So, so it doesn't matter.
And you don't necessarily need a big police dog or anything. Even it's been shown statistically that even a small dog, you go out for a walk by yourself, it doesn't matter if you got a big dog or a small dog, it's still it keeps the criminals at bay to some degree.
Wow.
And the other thing about animals, and Dr. Demery, am I saying it right?
Yeah, Demery? That's correct.
Demery. The other thing about animals is they're very intuitive. They're very intuitive. They can smell a rat or feel a rat when you don't. I've got a beautiful chocolate lab, and he's just Mr. Goofy, and he just loves everybody. And all the time I've had him, he's only mildly growled at two people that he met along the way separately. And it's odd because those two people I personally don't care for because
wow.
I don't think they have honor and integrity and a little Christ in their life. So. He's never growled at anybody except these two people on separate occasions.
Wow.
And again, he wasn't aggressive. He just was like, I don't want you touching me. Mm-hmm. And I think his intuition, I can't say he fed off of me because I never treated them badly in front of him or anything. He met them separately of me. I was in the room, but, he started growling a little bit at these two people. So I think their animal intuition is there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you don't need to have a big old German Shepherd or something to protect you. A little, I've got a gal that she's got a little Chihuahua, and that thing is just like alligator, man.
I think those small dogs have complexes.
Okay, we're not gonna go there, Anne. Don't go there.
Well, I love small house dogs.
Wait a minute. Can I jump in here? And I'm listening to everybody on their security measures. One of the things I was taught, and you know, especially when you work at the bank, is people casing your place,
mm-hmm.
learning to ID people who are just dry. I mean, nowadays they come through with bikes and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then to your sense of a perception has to be high.
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer just sit aloof and think we're safe. Mm-hmm. I have people coming to my door, and I talk to them through the window. I will not open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they do, the new thing that they're doing, they step real close to your door so you can't see their face.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open the door, they push their way in.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to talk to them through my window and say, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And well, I'm coming here. I need you to sign something. I'm not interested. And then too, because I'm a mental health specialist, we got a lot of folks with mental health issues
mm-hmm.
that are walking around. I've had just this last week knocking at my door, asking if they could get a light on the cigarette. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Who sent you to my place? Okay.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're casing, and especially when they see that there is a single woman. They know in the neighborhood, they have cased the neighborhood, whether apartment or around just in your home, they watch you. And I told my daughter, I says, you gotta be careful because they are watching you. They're monitoring you. They'll follow you home and what have you. And so you've got to be careful. One of the incidences I had one night, I was sitting there watching the television. My hearing is very keen. And I heard somebody fumbling with my front door. I looked out of my kitchen window and a gentleman was trying to insert a card to get in my door. And then I said, what do you want? Well, I had my gun in my hand, of course. And so I asked him, ma'am. I keep that beside me on the couch. I do. So anyway, he said, open the door. I won't hurt you. I said, you open the door, I'm going to hurt you. Okay? So locked and loaded and standing in the position to semi-automatic was gonna go off. And so anyway, long story short, I called the police and they know that I'm registered and what have you. And so they sent 5 officers there and they instructed me when the officers get there, when they get to your door, hide the gun behind a cushion or something like that. Don't have it in your hand. When I opened the door, I said, I'm glad you're here, because I was getting ready to catch a case. So he was going to be in the morgue somewhere. And they laughed and they said, I said, because I'm not afraid to use it, because his intent was not coming in here to be friendly.
No, of course not.
Doesn't live here. And I don't know this individual. So I told him I was going to open up on him. They said, as well as you should. If he would have came in, somebody told me to fire through the door. I'm not trying to do that, because I also know the laws as well. If they're not on the inside, why are you going to fire through the door? You know, because then now you're going to really catch a case. All right. And I'm not trying to go to jail behind somebody who has ill intent. Now, I was listening to Mike. I was listening to him about the methods of protection. I have cameras in my place. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. People are breaking into folks' homes, from my understanding. They're casing out the place, okay? Mm-hmm. Or they know, or you have somebody that who has a pretentious nature of doing carpet in your home or something like that. I watch it, just like mothers have baby monitors. I monitor, because my little stuff, I worked hard for it. I don't want you
to
know it's a gift. It's not, okay? And so then too, on your sliding glass window, I also have the locks, but I also do an extra measure. As the sliding glass door is closed, I instill a piece of wood, okay, down in the groove and along with my windows, so that they will not be able to open them, okay? And so these are just the extra measures. And then too, I just really, I'm really careful, as you say, going out to the shops, and I was writing down. But mental health, people don't care who you are. I had them coming to my door, and after I said no, they started screaming, yelling, and walking back and forth, came back again. I said, what do you want, and how do you know me? I need, and one lady came at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, no.
Talking about, I need some money to bury my sister. I said, you need to get on down the road. Okay, they gonna find you, okay? Then I had a gentleman, and then too, you have to be careful with these electrical companies, because they go to various places to look in your screen or your door to make sure that you're sealed and for, to preserve you using so much electricity and air getting in your place and things like that. Mm-hmm. I had one gentleman said, I'm coming back to take care of you personally. Just the way he said it. Just the way he said it. Okay. First off, he said, I bet you was hotsy-totsy. And my thing like this, wait a minute, you working for an insurance company and you coming at me like that. And he said he's going to come and take care of me personally. When he said that, I knew in my mind what he was thinking. That's why you have to perceive very closely what people are talking about. He came back 2 months later, but I was looking out the window. He was that close to my door, okay? And I did not open the door. And I sent him on his way. But we also have to be careful with listening and listening to people's intents. You can't get paranoid, of course, but you have to be smart, because I come from a war zone, okay? And so I know the verbiage, I know the language, okay, especially in dealing and talking with people. And then too, you have to have that sense, that sixth sense to kick in. It's at all costs that you have to protect yourself. You can no longer sit there and say, they don't mean any mean intentions. Like, yeah, right. Okay.
You really could use one of those doorbells.
Oh, yes.
Because not only does it, you know, video the interaction, but it also allows you to talk to the person outside.
Right.
So you can, they, you know, it's kind of like got a microphone, so you can hear them and they can hear you. And that way you don't even have to go to the door. You can sit on the sofa and be like, if you don't get away from that door.
I like to see them because when I shoot you,
well, what I'm saying is they will
see,
be,
Mike, I told you.
On the screen. You'll see them on your screen as well as hear them. So you,
I wanted to pick up on one of the things that Mike said, which is important. And yes, I am big on animals, former canine officer. And when I got my dog when I was a cop, I had to be trained. The dog was already trained.
Wow.
So I had to get the training. Wow. To give you an idea how important the sense of smell is for a dog. And I think when we're looking at protecting ourselves, we need to use all of our five senses. And some say that we even have a sixth or a seventh sense.
But I agree.
To give you an idea how sensitive a dog's smell is. The breed that I have, the only dog that has a more sensitive sense of smell is a bloodhound. Mm. The average dog, just the average dog, can smell one part per vinegar and a million parts per water. To give you an idea of what that is, that's taking a thimble full of vinegar, putting it in a bathtub full of water, and swirling it around. The dog can smell the vinegar in the bathtub full of water with that one thimble full of vinegar. That's how sensitive their smell is. I mean, people will walk past the front of my door, and my dog's ears will go up, and he'll walk over to the door because he smells them even before I can hear them. So if where one sense doesn't work, another sense will kick in. Now, I'm not saying animals are for everybody, but you have to work. When you talk about security, you have to work at what fits you, what fits your style, you know, what fits where you are comfortable and what works for you. And once you find that niche, you practice it. I mean, I go to the range once a month, you know. So the point being is I think that once you find something that works for you, you practice it and you make sure it's working. You know, that like I always tell people, you know, coming to church, obviously I'm big on going to church. You don't start going to church Sunday morning. You get ready for church on Saturday. You don't wait until 9 o'clock in the morning and say, well, I guess I'm going to go to church this morning. You start getting your clothes and all that stuff together. You start getting ready before then. So you have to practice what you preach. Well, pun intended on that one. The point being is that you have to practice and work, you know, at what you do, work at what you're good at. And that is what helps. When I was in the military, that's what we did. You constantly practice, you constantly train, you constantly work at what it is that your expertise is. And your expertise nowadays has to be personal safety. And it's something that you, and I mean, it's sad that we have to get that way, not to where we're paranoid, but you have to use your common sense, and you have to not be paranoid, but you have to use your common sense and use the resources that you have that are available to you.
That's exactly right. Brother Moffitt, you want to jump in? And I want you to talk about maybe perhaps some of your experiences with the LAPD, some of the things that you witnessed, and some preventative care. Then I want to get back to Mike. And Mike, I want us to talk about a little bit, touch on how we need to educate our children, because they are the most vulnerable, not only this time of the year, but year round. Brother Moffitt.
No, first of all, Dr. Demery talked about equipment. My thing is that he talked about practicing. The worst thing you can have is a tool that you haven't practiced with, a weapon that you have no experience using, because that could be more harmful than not having one at all. Because, you know, some of these handguns in particular, you know, semi-automatic handguns, if you don't know what you're doing with them, maybe you shouldn't have that particular tool. But, whatever you choose, if it's a taser, if it's a handgun, whatever type of self-defense, you know, tool that you select, make sure you practice with it before you try to use it elsewhere.
And otherwise, they'll take it away from you and use it on you.
Exactly. I spent a large, you know, part of my career just in basic patrol, you know, patrol officer, patrol supervisor. And, the thing is that it's been said already, keep your head on a swivel, being situational awareness, being aware of your surroundings, the time of the day, what environment that you're in. That's the most key thing that we can do, especially during times like this holiday seasons, just being aware of our surroundings and what's happening around us. Cause I mean, everyone's listening to the news on a daily basis and there's been a major increase in, you know, street robbers, even in some of the best, you know, communities, neighborhoods. I don't care if it's Beverly Hills, wherever it's at, you gotta, you know, be aware of your surroundings. So, that's it for the most part.
Yeah. Walk with your head up. Look people in the eye. Criminals don't like to be looked at. I'm not saying stare people down, but walk, when you're walking and you're passing somebody, look at them and maybe nod at them or acknowledge them so they know that you looked at them. And that makes them a little squeamish. So yeah, head up, shoulders back, walk with confidence. Don't walk like a victim. I do want to go back to, the door for just a second. There's no reason these days for you to ever open your door because of ring doorbells. Or you can talk through the door, especially you ladies that are maybe living at home alone. Don't open the door at all. They will come up with clipboards and it'll say Southern California Edison on their shirt. And they've got a little badge and ID with their picture on it. They will walk the walk and talk the talk of being somebody that's a professional with Edison. Oh, we need to check your circuit breaker box, or we need to this, or we need to that, or they're asking for donations for children in South Africa or something. They're very charming. They're very tricky. So don't fall for it. Don't open the door. If they say they're from Edison, they need to talk to you. Well, here, I'll give you the number for our office. No. You go look up the number for your local Edison office. You call and you say, I got Mr. John Doe outside my door saying he needs to check my electrical box in my backyard. And I'm feeling uncomfortable. Who is this person? Mm-hmm. We don't have a John Doe that works for us. There you go. So make the phone call. Don't open the door unless you know the person to begin with. There's no reason for you to open that door.
But can I say something about technology though? I really like to embrace modern technology and stuff, but when it comes to surveillance cameras and things like this, when you're out there picking those cameras, be very mindful of, like, for example, after dark, the quality of the playback could be off. You want your night vision playback to be just as good quality as it would be during the daytime. So some of the quality of the night vision part of those camera systems are not as good as it would be in the daytime. So make sure you pick a good system. Make sure you look at what it would be like playing back the footage, you know, because most of the camera systems, surveillance systems, they'll record footage for up to 30 days. But you want to be able to, you want your playback quality to be just as good. Because if law enforcement comes to your house and they want to identify someone who was prowling around the neighborhood, prowling around your cars, someone, you know, you want to be able to show them some footage that they can use, you know, so they can identify a suspect if they were to come up to your house.
That's an outstanding point. Outstanding point.
You get what you pay for. So don't be afraid if your life's involved. That Smith & Wesson that Dr. Sims has, he spent money on that weapon. I guarantee it. Because
yes, I did.
Raven or some other piece of junk. She got a decent weapon because her life is on the line. Same thing with these security systems. And Mr. Moff is absolutely correct. There's quality and there's quality. So who wants something that, like he said, that's very crisp at night, has its own night vision capability. And I would look at the quality of the picture. You want the high definition that's good enough that if the car pulls away from in front of your house, it'll read the license.